Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Suicide is the leading cause of death in jails across the United States, and a new report says many of those are preventable. In hundreds of cases in which people attempted to kill themselves or died by suicide in jails across the country, one-third had allegedly been denied their prescription medication to treat mental illness. In others, jail staff did not recognize warning signs for self-harm or properly monitor at-risk inmates. That's all according to a new investigation by the Associated Press and the Capital News Service at the University of Maryland. And here to walk us through the findings is Sharon Cohen, a national writer for the Associated Press. Welcome to The Takeaway, Sharon.
Thank you for having me.
So in your piece, you describe a young woman named Tana Jo Fillmore, who was jailed in Utah and killed herself on Thanksgiving Day in 2016. Why did you spotlight her case?
I think she was a good example of one of the problems that jails are seeing. She had been denied her prescription medications, and she had threatened to kill herself. And that fits into a broader theme that we saw when we looked at several of the cases of suicides around the country.
And tell us a little bit about how frequently that is, because I'm trying to understand how someone could be incarcerated, be in need of medication, and be denied that medication.
Well, there are reasons that some experts say that drugs are not provided, prescription drugs are not provided in jails. And some people believe that it's not a good idea because people manipulate the system, inmates manipulate the system just by asking drugs. Others believe that it's not a good idea because it just extends people taking drugs and that they can go without them for a week or so, short periods of time. But there are experts and sheriffs who think that anybody on psychotropic drugs should continue to get them and should not be denied them. In this jail in particular, there's a list of drugs that are available. This was just an instance where a nurse denied the drugs to Tana Jo.
So I want to understand a little bit for myself and for other people who may not know, is it protocol when someone is incarcerated to have a psychological evaluation?
It usually is, but small jails usually don't have the resources to do that. Larger jails like Cook County Jail in Chicago do, and they have a team of experts that work on these things, and there is screening in most jails. But when you get to small jails, particularly in rural communities, those services are not always available. And sometimes the doctors who are on call, they work in several jails, they travel around to different counties, so the availability isn't the same.
One of the things we hear a lot about in the conversation around criminal justice reform is often that a lot of our jails and prisons have become default mental institutions and psychiatric hospitals because of a lack of those. What's your take on that?
Yes, you hear that increasingly, particularly in the last 10 years or even more. In the 1970s, there was a change in how psychiatric patients were treated. Psychiatric hospitals closed, and there were supposed to be local services that would meet the needs. Those local clinics didn't emerge as they were expected to be. So what you found was a lot of mentally ill patients who sometimes get arrested for small things like trespassing, ending up in jail. And you find more and more mentally ill people in jail. And in addition to that, now you find people who are addicted, opioids, meth addicted people who often have signs of depression and mental illness as well. So now you have jails that are filled with mentally ill people and addicted people, and that puts incredible pressures on jails to find the services and the treatment they need. And again, when you deal with smaller jails, those services tend to be not available very often.
Speaking with Sharon Cohen, a national writer for the Associated Press, about the cause of high rates of suicide in jails across the country. Sharon, beyond the denial of prescription medication, were there other issues that you found were leading to suicide in prisons?
Yes, staffing is an issue. Staffing and training are two big issues. Staffing is, in many cases, jails are supposed to look at inmates and monitor them regularly, every 15 minutes, every 30 minutes, depending on the severity of the inmate, whether he or she is in isolation. And because of staffing, that doesn't always happen. There have been instances where inmates have been crying for help and guards don't respond to them. Again, it might be staffing, it might be they feel that they're just calling out and don't need the help. So that was one problem.
This almost indicates a little bit of a, we talk about this on the show a lot, but it feels like there's a little bit of a lack of humanity here towards people who are incarcerated and in need of mental health services.
I think you hear that from experts, prison attorneys, and others who feel that they don't get the proper treatment and people don't take their cases seriously and the jail guards don't have the right training. And in many cases, jails are trying to do things about that, offering suicide prevention training programs, other kinds of training that will help them deal with these inmates who can be at times very difficult.
Well, difficult, I mean, that's understandable. I think one of the other things we need to bring up here is the fact that, and we've talked about cash bail issues on this show in the past, many of the people who are in jail, I'm thinking about, for example, Rikers Island and some of the more infamous cases we've seen there where inmates have taken their lives because they were just waiting to post bail. What do we know about the number or the percentage of those who are not even convicted of a crime who have died by suicide?
That is a big problem. I think we found by looking at the cases, we surveyed the lawsuits, about 80% of the inmates who were in jail were awaiting trial. So they had been charged, but they had not been convicted of anything. And a lot of times in the first week or so, the stress of the confinement and the fear of what's going to happen to them creates even more anxiety and more difficulty for these inmates. So yes, many of them are just charged, awaiting trial, no conviction.
What about accountability? Have you found that in cases where medication was denied, that there has been accountability?
I haven't found that very much. What you do find is in cases where there are lawsuits and sometimes there are settlements, afterwards you see major reforms made. That happened in a case in California we looked at where the sheriff, after a suicide, a sheriff undertook many changes in the jail, including better surveillance, better training, additional staff. So after a lawsuit, sometimes the changes are prompted by lawsuits, and in that case, you see reforms. In other cases, there aren't those changes.
Sharon Cohen is a national writer with the Associated Press. Thank you for your reporting, Sharon.
Thank you.